This is CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com, no borders, your boy KF. You already know what's going on, Joburg. What's going on, South Africa? What's going on, world? We got a very special guest in the building. My brother, US-based, I like the whole US-based thing. It's kind of long. US-based Zimbabwean comedian, man.
Yeah, buddy.
Alfred Kayinga, just off of the tour, man.
Yes.
You came to tear shit up.
Show did. You can say shit on the radio here.
Yeah, uncensored, unscripted. It's called online.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing in Joburg, man.
So, yo, fam, last week, you were at Parker's Comedy and Jive. You did a 3-series comedy show.
Yeah. We were teaming up out there with Joe Parker was on stage, and Stuart Taylor was on stage with me, too.
Wow.
So, yeah, man, we just had a good time out there, man. And I don't think they expected to see what they got. You know what I'm saying?
They got their money's worth,
man, because I'm out there, man. I'm ripping and running when I get on that stage. I ain't bullshit.
Yo, man, Alfred, so I've been following you, so I know exactly what to expect. I knew what to expect. You know, I knew I got my money's worth.
Yeah.
But you started off in Zim, right?
Nope.
So the tour didn't start off in Zim?
Oh, yeah.
The tour. Yeah.
Yeah, okay,
the
yeah.
The tour started off in Zim, right?
In Zimbabwe, yeah.
Then after that, you went over to
Lagos, Nigeria.
Yeah, uh-huh. Lagos, Nigeria. You were Basket Mouth.
Yeah.
You were Celestine Tooley as well. Yeah,
Angel Campy from Cape Town.
Because I saw that poster. You're on a billboard.
You're on a big ass billboard.
A huge billboard
in Lagos, bro. I didn't even want to come back. Like, let me get an apartment above that billboard. You did,
golly. So okay, let's go back to, you know, how you started off, man. I was awestruck because I didn't know about Alfred Kayinga back. You know, man.
Okay.
Then I saw somebody shared something from your page.
Okay.
And it's Kevin Hart laughing his ass off.
Yeah.
In wherever y'all were at.
Yeah.
And it's you on stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then my people are like, yo, we know this dude, Alfred. I'm like, wait, hold up. I was really jealous when I hollered at you. Remember when I hollered at you? I'm like, yo, so yeah. What's this? You know, so what? Okay, tell us, how did it go down?
It was a real deal, man. It was a real deal. I've been doing comedy for 12 years. So Kevin Hart, you know, he's the biggest superstar in comedy right now.
You already know.
I mean, he's killing the game.
Yeah.
But he decided to give back, reach back to the young up-and-coming comedians.
That's what's up.
Who've been grinding for a long time.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Are not known to the world.
All right.
So he basically went to 8 cities. And he said, I'm going to find 3 of the best comedians in each city. Right?
Wow.
So
you're being braggadocious. Now, you had to put that in, like 3 of the best. In AC.
Now check this out. I wasn't even supposed to be on the lineup.
All right.
He came to Houston, Texas. I live in Dallas.
Okay.
You see, so when he came to Houston here, they found 3 comedians in Houston.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, they checked out my stuff, and Kevin was like, I gotta have this boy on the show. And
you're being even more braggadocious now.
Hey, I gotta pat myself on the back. I've worked hard.
Word, man.
This
word.
I mean, I was endorsement right dog. Here.
Wow.
Yes. So basically they said, Kevin said, man, I got to get this kid on the show. And they said, but he's not in Houston. He's in Dallas. He said, I don't care where he is, as long as he's right here in Texas.
Y'all better bring him through.
Bring his ass down here. So they made an exception, man, and I was on that show, man, and we killed it.
You
so,
did, man. I was watching that. I hate watching niggas. I'm like, who's this nigga?
Yeah. I know how it is. But it was a great experience, man. You know, I felt the pressure. Like, okay, I'm the only African on this show. I'm the only African.
Wow. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? So to me, it just goes beyond being a stand-up comic, because I got the whole continent on my back.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Like, so it's I gotta represent for Africa.
Exactly.
That's why my material, I talk about Africa, I talk about Zimbabwe. I make sure that I highlight that. Hey, man, this is my identity.
Exactly.
I'm funny
and
too.
And that makes you really funny. But dog, how is it? Man, how much work did you put in? How your grind must have been prolific for, like,
it's been a minute, man.
Because there are a lot of comics in the States.
I know.
It's like there are a lot of rappers.
There's a lot of comedians in the States, and there's a lot of funny comedians in the States.
You know what I mean?
So the competition is stiff, but you just gotta, you know, grind it out. And if you're good, they will catch up with you, man.
You know,
numbers don't lie.
You know, they always got that thing with, you know, with. musicians and rappers. And I go, also, when did you start singing? I started singing in the choir.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's everybody's thing. It's everybody's thing.
You're in the choir.
Ain't nobody going to tell you the truth. I started singing in a strip club.
Exactly.
But, like, when did you realize you were funny?
I always knew I was funny, especially in high school.
Right.
Yeah, I was a class clown. School clown. You know what I mean? I mean, the stuff that I used to get caned for, I'm getting paid for now.
Wow.
Insane.
Amen. A lot of kids in school right now are like, yeah, man. Yeah, you heard that? You heard that?
They actually called me back at Prince Edward, man. I gave a
I saw that on Facebook, man.
It was crazy. It really was. So, yeah, I was just funny in school, man. And I used to watch a lot of sitcoms. You remember Martin?
Martin back in the day.
And do those jokes. I would bring them to school. Clowning, be laughing. Like, you're crazy. And then when I got to the States, I realized, dude, I can actually do this.
Yeah.
Encouragement from people like, yeah, man, you know, go to open mic.
Yeah, try it out. Try it out.
This was in 2005. I jumped on that stage, man. I got one laugh in like 2 minutes. But that was good enough for me.
I'm like, it's all right.
You know what I'm saying? That's when
I can imagine that. I'm on stage. That's why I like radio. Because I can't see nobody. I don't really care what they think right now. But you're on stage and you're looking at all these people. And you're in Africa.
Yeah. And you ain't got no music to back you up.
Bruh.
You ain't got nobody to look back and say, nigga.
Yeah, did they kill you? Yeah, nothing
it's
like
just
that.
Just you and that microphone. So you got to bring it, man. And I love it, man. It's easy for me.
So, I mean, obviously, when did it become your full-time gig? When you decide, I'm going in.
Okay, so I've been doing it for 12 years. I turned professional about 3 years ago.
Years
where I'm like, okay, this is what I'm doing now. That's when you realize the gigs, you know, are now taking care of you and your family.
Exactly.
That's when it was time, and it was just no time for you to work. Because, I mean, I try to hold on to my job, right? And I'm like, hey, man, I'm taking off Thursday.
That's like a true African. You're like... Two paychecks, that's good.
Well, I was trying to hold on. Yeah. But I used up all my vacation days real quick. Like, bro, you're going to have to make a choice now. You know, we can't let you take off every week. I was like, okay, I got to go.
Okay, Alfred, now, I mean, like, you know, so I don't want to sound racist or anything. But, you know, you get those people, like, you know, coming back to Africa.
Yeah.
You get those people who are very in touch with Western comedy, right? Then you get those people because local comedy has become a big thing too.
Right.
You know, I was at Comedy Central last week as well. I was at the Savannah Comic Choice Awards as well.
Okay.
And you find that a lot of local comics have really made comedy, the jokes are very home-based.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How was the response with your shows? Like, how was it? Like, what the content and stuff? Do you think you were able to connect with the people?
You talking about my shows back here in Africa?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. I mean, I connected with them. You know, I actually read an article about the Zim show. Mm-hmm. One of the papers wrote, they said that we had come out with our guns blazing.
Yeah,
waiting
yeah.
to see if this dude was going to flop.
This
dude was going to be able to relate with it. The Zimbabwe
locals. Yeah, yeah.
Man, look. I mean, come on now. I'm on Facebook every day. I read the news articles.
You know what I mean?
See what's going
on. I got it.
Yeah, so I keep in touch with my people, man. So I was able to relate.
Where do you think your best show was?
My best show so far?
Yeah. And during the tour?
Oof. Man. All of them were good. They were like, different.
I do know because I actually hollered at you. I hit you up. I'm like, yo. Everybody talking about the Zim show, man. Yeah, like that was sold out too.
That was sold out. They had a whole bunch of people turned away. But the Nigerian
show. Hey, you must have been good, dog.
Crazy.
They broke down there and you sold out.
Nah, don't believe the hype.
Yeah, don't believe the hype.
Those folks got money too now. Hey, those folks got money. But that Nigerian show was off the chain too now. Parker's was great.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, man, all of them had their different flavors. Different type of audience, different reception.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, man, if I deliver and people come to me and say, man, you were funny, we enjoyed you, that's all that matters.
Exactly, man, exactly. And especially, I mean, I got to consider this. I mean, I think you're a brave brother because a lot of these comics are based here and people know that they're funny.
Right.
You know, they know the type of stand-up that they do. Of course, it is kind of an advantage to say that your material was really new and really different.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, people walk into a show and they know what they're kind of expecting what they know.
Right.
I mean, some people are not really all that, you know, accepted. Or receptive of new stuff. So,
very
I mean,
true.
For people to walk in Nigeria.
Oh, Nigeria, let me tell you.
Because you were competing with the Nigerian accent. The Nigerian accent is funny on its own.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
And like, you're talking about 5,000 deep.
Wait, hold up. That's how big that show
was?
That's
how big that show was. Basketball off the chain.
How did you even connect with basketball? They called it Lord of the Rips,
Lord
right?
of the Rips. Yeah.
First of all, that was just funny on its own.
Yeah. That's his tour, man. I met Basketball like 4 years ago. He came to the States.
Oh, snap. So you've been knowing him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've worked with him. This is like my third time. Basketball opened on my DVD taping.
Oh,
two
snap.
Years ago.
Alfred, we did. I'm going to be honest
Come
with you,
on, man.
I didn't know about you,
I've been working, bro.
I didn't know about you, but now I followed you on Facebook, and I don't follow a lot of people.
Yeah, man, I've been working with some big guns for a long time.
Somebody needs to do your PR down here. I'm trying to look for a job. You want me to do your PR?
Let's do it.
I'm going to do your
Let's
PR, man.
Like, I'm telling you, man. They've been sleeping on a brother.
They have, bro. Like, I'm like, get out of here, man. This is crazy.
Yeah, so Basketball, man, I've been knowing the brother for a few years now, about 4 or 5 years. And, you know, we've been talking about, hey, man, I'm going to bring you to Nigeria. He'd been to the States. We did a show together with Ann Consiman one time.
Oh, wait, so you did a show with Ann as well?
Yeah, bro.
Bro, with these are household names to us.
I know.
And they fucks with you.
Yes.
Golly.
So Bucci and Bovi was on there. You know, some of these heavy hitters from Nigeria.
Yeah.
And so we've been talking about Alfred come to Nigeria, man. And so this whole tour came together all at once.
Okay.
And it worked out, man. And Basketball, this incredible dude, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he was excited, man. I got on that stage and, man, he just ripped it. I mean, 5,000 deep, man.
Wow.
That laugh.
You know what I mean? That's a crazy laugh.
That was actually my biggest audience to date.
5,000 people is a lot of people.
Exactly.
That's a lot of people.
I need that every week, brother. Every week. My wife won't be calling me no problem.
Yeah, like,
baby, you all right?
You are. So, I mean, what brought this together? What connected? Like, what? Why now?
Okay. So after the TV show aired on Comedy Central with Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
A lot of African people realize we got a kid out there.
Yeah,
doing something.
I'm sure, like your Facebook likes just kind of sort. Cause
let me tell you something, it blew up.
And I'm not big on social media. I got like 251 friends.
Okay.
But I saw it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't just like stuff. I'm not social media type, you know, like that. But I was like, no, I need to follow this dude.
There
you know what I mean?
Go.
Like, I'm just waiting for, when's this next video?
Right. So a lot of people were like, man, we need you to come home. We need you to come home. Because this show aired last year, 2016 in October. And
wow.
From then, I mean, it was just like constant. Like, so, you know, I got a buddy of mine named Terrence, you know, Buried Me Extra Time Entertainment, childhood friend.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, dude, if anything, let me be the one who brings you home.
Aight.
I said, cool, bro. You
let's
make
do
it
this.
Happen.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the tour came into fruition, man. And the fans, I was shocked. Like, I really got fans down here.
Yeah, you do, man.
You know what I mean? So that was good. That felt good coming home. Because I could have done this 4 or 5 years ago, but I didn't feel like I was ready.
Okay.
Five years ago.
You were like, let me take my time. Right
Yeah. Let me give him a world-class performance when I go there.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Because comedy is a journey. It's not a race.
Word.
You keep getting better every time.
And comedy is not like music. For example, hip-hop, that's limited by age.
Yeah.
I'm like some people get to 50, they're like, I can't rap no more. And it's true, you can't. We really don't want to hear a 50-year-old rap.
You're right.
But, I mean, you get funnier with the more experience that you get. And you know what I mean? Like Steve Harvey and rest in peace, Bernie Mac. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Old school cats, man, still grinding and Cedric the Entertainer.
Yo, yes, sir.
So that's what it's about, man.
I think it was the perfect decision, man. Like, I think you really tore it apart. Like, and the country is really proud of you, too, man.
Yeah.
Like, Zim is really proud of you. Like, you know, I expected you to be funny. Like, I found you funny, but I'm also very much in touch. I just didn't expect what you gave us.
Okay.
I really didn't expect it. So, you know when I'm expecting the joke to kind of go that way?
Yeah.
And then you switch it on like this. I'm hating at the same time because, you know what I mean?
Why is he so funny?
You know what I mean? Why is he so
Damn.
Funny? Take you out with my friends. Shout out to Ronaldo and Lamise and everybody. I'm like, nah, man. No, I don't know. Nah, this is your influences.
Yeah.
Of course, Martin, obvious, because you talked about Martin.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, once you went to the States and you saw the competition that was there.
Right.
I think, obviously, because we didn't really grow up with stand-up in Zim. You know what I mean? Our age group, we grew up with watching Martin
sitcoms.
On shows, sitcoms.
Yeah.
But actual stand-up comedy, like, it wasn't... Like, do you know when I first watched Delirious and Raw?
Yeah.
I think I was in college.
There you go.
And that stuff came out in 1989, 1990.
Yeah.
But I only saw that...
No, actually, Delirious came out in 1983.
Oh, yeah, you're right, bro. You're right.
The red leather suit.
Exactly.
That was
man.
In 83.
83, brother.
That? Yeah. Yeah.
So and that's still funny today. Like, you know what I mean?
What?
That is like that, brother. So, I mean, what were your, like, I mean, like, later in life, like, today? Like, who are your like, the superheroes?
Okay. Now, let me tell you something. When I got there and the bug caught up with me, man, in the early... when I first got to the States, I was watching BET comedy.
Okay.
Religiously. All
right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was funny to me. Like, this is the funniest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Then some dude gave me a Def Comedy Jam DVD.
Okay, I remember Def Comedy Jam,
so
yeah.
So I started watching those, man. I was buying those DVDs, like, every week. I have a stack of them.
Wow.
Like, I'm talking about any stand-up special I could catch a hold of.
Yeah, yeah.
I was watching.
You studied the art.
I studied the art, man, because I was like, this right here is hilarious. My roommates were like, nigga, you are crazy. Because I've been rolling watching that shit. Like, what are you doing,
do it, man. Binge watching comedy.
Comedy, man. So I was learning from that. Then I saw a dude by the name of Capone.
Okay.
Capone is a New York king of comedy. And I said, man, if I can do half of what these dudes
do. Yes.
Man, because he did this joke about, you know, you ever had the set so good, a nigga throw you outside the window, run downstairs and catch you and fuck you back upstairs?
Oh!
I'm dying, you hear me? And I said, man, if I ever... This dude right here.
Oh, snap.
He caught me, man. Because he was like a Bernie Mac, but raw.
Okay.
Like more gangster.
Yeah, yeah.
And fast forward.
That did sound raw. I'm like, and I'm visualizing, like, throw you outside, go catch you.
And fuck you back upstairs. And then he says, you've been telling your homegirls, I believe I can fly.
Wow.
So that's Capone, man. And you know what the crazy thing about it is? When you say something, sometimes you don't realize that words are powerful.
Yes,
word. I spoke that into existence.
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago, me and Capone, we caught up. And he watched me on stage. And he was the first headliner of all the headliners that I worked with who said, nigga, I'm going to take you on the road with me.
Family, okay. So two things here.
Yeah.
The dude who you looked up to.
Yeah.
Hollered at you. Well, y'all met up. And then he hollered at you, and you worked.
Now we work together. I'm on Team Capone.
Yeah, and then that was the second thing I was going on. Is that what the Team Capone hashtag
That's exactly
means?
Exactly what that means. I'm on Team Capone.
Wow.
I'm the guy who, if he's on tour, I'm the guy who gets on there and do 45 minutes before he gets on. I'm that nigga. I'm working with
wow,
New York King of
Comedy. Wow.
I mean, I'm telling you, man. I was in my workmate, he says, I remember you showing me this shit in the van when we were working. Showing me Capone.
Yeah, yeah.
Set.
Yeah, you know when you really like it and you're like, hey dude, you see this?
And here now you're working with the brother. You know what I'm saying? And Capone was actually one of the first guys to put Kevin Hart on a tour.
Yeah. Wow.
He's been in the game for over 25 years. He's a gangster. Look him up. Watch his stuff.
Hell yeah, dog.
Cold dude, man. Cold dude.
This is crazy. This is like a dream come true, man.
It truly is.
And when you tell yourself that you can do something, you actually end up doing it, man. If you stay in the struggle, you stay grinding 24/7. Because I bet you, I know this kid called King Kandoro. And he's back home right now. He when he was still in SA, he told me, yo, I want to do stand-up. And he's been working really hard. And I'm sure, like, one day he's going to get to your levels and stuff. But it's that hustle, it's that grind. Like, you talking about 12 years, man.
Oh, yeah.
Knee-deep in the game.
Oh, yeah.
And you talking about you only made it professional, like, 5 years ago.
Yes.
So that's a 7-year hustle that took you. Look at it now.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's longer for us.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's shorter for us.
Exactly, yeah.
But you just got to keep grinding, man. And it's opened so many doors for me, man. I've worked with some of the greats in this game.
Wow.
Believe it or not. I mean, some of the greats. Never expected to meet up with DL Dukley, bro.
No, dog. Wait. Okay. Yeah. I need a short list. Give me five of the big ones that you met.
DL Dukley.
Dog, we talking about original kings.
Yeah.
The original kings.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Bill Bellamy.
Wow.
Good brother. You know what I mean? I worked with Bill. John Reap.
Wow.
Dude named John Reap, man. He was the first winner of the Last Comic Standing. And he's done all these Dodge Ram commercials, funny white dude, man. Funny white dude, man.
I'm talking
about, yes. So I've worked with him, man, and I keep working with him, and he's just going to keep getting better. I mean, Kevin Hart, Bruce.
Dog, like, I mean, like, and I got to go back to it. I don't care what y'all think, but I'm watching this video, and it's Kevin Hart literally packing out.
Yeah.
And you're on stage. Yeah. I had to holler at some friends, like, you sure this nigga is from where he says he's from?
Right.
Is that Kevin Hart?
Yeah.
I sent it to my graphic designer because I'm like, is that Photoshop? Like, I ain't no Photoshop
you
here, man.
You saw what I did at the end. I said, this is for Zimbabwe.
Yeah,
bro,
man. And you kept it real, man. That's what I love about it. You keep it real. And, and the content, and that's where the arts are going. I always tell people that's where the arts are going in terms of, you know, Africa. Like, people are tapping into what we do.
With a new frontier.
That's it.
Facts.
That's it. And how you have kept straight. I mean, you've been in the States for a long time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Time.
But you keep that content. You're really good at balancing it, you know, like your roots with where you've been, because that's home now. You know, we can't deny it. But your roots are still here, and that balancing out of it has just been amazing, man.
It's important.
Alfred, we got to keep in touch because I see you acting sometime too.
Oh, yeah. Most,
you might start off with a Soul Plane kind of movie. I'm going to still root for you because I know one day I'm going to be like, yo,
something.
Hey, Alfred, so what you say? You, I just need a ticket. An invitation letter and a ticket.
And a ticket.
You in Dallas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about Dallas. I'm coming through, man. What do you need me to do? I carry your chains? Because you're going to have, like, gold chains. I can learn how to cut hair, too. So when you're on tour, I carry your chains and I cut your hair. So, man, so what is the next step? Where are we going?
Man, we got a TV show that I just got cast for. It's a TV pilot that we're going to be filming here real soon. The world tour is not stopping. When I get back to Dallas, I'm going to be in a town called Killeen, Texas. Then from there, I fly out to Australia. I'm going to Melbourne. So he's got a lot of work, man. And I'm doing Jamaica before the year's over.
Jamaica. Dog.
Yes. I've linked up with one of the biggest Jamaican comedians out there named Chris Johnny Daly. We've worked together. We did a Caribbean tour just recently. You know, I did the Bahamas, St. Martin's.
You working, man. You working.
I'm busting my ass, bro. I got to keep these lights on in the house.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. I got to.
I didn't know none of this, man. Radio, what are you doing? People need to say this stuff on radio. We need to know,
and,
man.
And I'm active on my social media sites. I make sure I let everybody know where I'm at, man. It's like, hey, I need your...
Yeah, I've been seeing you with the live videos. And this is where I'm at. Yeah.
I need your support. That's all I need, man. And if you come to my show, I guarantee you will not be disappointed.
Nah, we were not disappointed at all, man. We're not disappointed. Your world, wherever you're listening from, Dallas, everybody in the Kainga family, y'all need to know that what this brother did when he came back home, he killed it. We're proud of him. We're proud of your craft. And just being able to open up that space. Our parents didn't believe in some of this stuff.
No,
you know
they
what
didn't.
I mean?
No, they didn't.
Like, who told them my jokes?
Sometimes you have to go against the grain.
Yeah.
And that's what I did.
Word.
You know, I kept going to school, but at the same time, I knew what I wanted to do.
Exactly.
I didn't want to give my mother a heart attack.
Yeah. Like, what?
But now she's like, go, boy.
You know what I mean? All right, so next it's Melbourne, then Jamaica. Tell us a bit about the TV show. So is this guarantee you going?
Oh, I'm definitely in. I mean, we work.
So I kind of predicted this, that you're going to go for TV now.
I mean, most of the time, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens.
That's
you're the funny dude.
Yeah, that's what I want. I really want to get into TV and film. So this is my first opportunity right here to do this pilot. Now, with pilots, it might not get picked up.
Yeah, but I mean, you're in the room, though.
There you go.
That's all it takes.
I got a script.
You're in the room, exactly. Yeah, I mean, because, and if you look at it, I think you even had it easier than people like Kevin Hart.
You think so?
I think, dog, Kevin hustled, bro. Like,
I'm
dog.
Too.
He's like, I'm hustling too. Because I started watching old Kevin Hart movies.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I'm like, Kevin, that's you.
Yeah.
You look poor and broke as hell.
Yeah.
At least, Alfred, you a big dude, so you don't look skinny and hungry. You know what I mean?
you ever watched the movie Paper Soldiers?
No, I didn't watch it.
That's one of Kevin Hart, if not, that's the first Kevin Hart movie.
Wow.
It's called Paper Soldiers.
I'm
check
look,
it out.
Look that up.
Capone's in that movie, too.
Yeah. Shout out to Team Capone in the building. Johannesburg, Alfred Kainga, man. Zimbabwe in the house.
Yeah, bro.
Fam, you know, we don't have a lot to celebrate back home, but it's a good look to know that, you know, we always try and celebrate that on the show, No Borders. No Borders about, you know, just taking the conversation to Africa.
Yeah.
We need to know about each other.
Yeah.
And you've actually done that with this tour that you just did.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Zimbabwe, Nigeria, South Africa, you know what I mean? Jamaica.
Yeah.
You know, you're bringing black people together in terms of the arts and arts to the world,
all
man.
Over.
Much appreciation for taking the time to come through, my brother. We just had Alfred Kainga. Go on Facebook right now, every social platform. Look for Alfred Kainga. Like the page. Watch the videos. Funny as hell.
Yes.
Team Capone. It's your boy KF on CliffCentral.com. No Borders. Going to about take a short break. Stay tuned in. No Borders, CliffCentral.com. We're back. We had Alfred Kainga in the building, off fresh off of his African tour out of Dallas, USA, Texas. You already know, funniest dude I've met in a while. Those were the sounds of, I keep doing that. You know, it's that 1980s, right? You know those dudes from radio back in the day, you know, like when we still had like my WRS, is that what you call it? Those radios with the what you call antennas. Those were the sounds all of them to beauty. And now we've been doing it for so long. I say, every time a song plays, I'm like, these are the sounds of.
Yeah.
I need to come up with something new. Mandy said, you need to help me out with something new.
No, definitely. Don't worry.
But that amazing jam, that beat was sick. That was TDK, my cassette. I mean, like, and we're just talking about cassettes, right?
Yeah.
And old
radios.
Yeah,
old radios.
You know what I mean?
Going to be there.
When I got the email that you were coming, it's like, she actually called herself TDK, my cassette. That's actually pretty original. That's dope.
Yeah, thank
you. I like
so
that
much.
Song is dope, too, but we're going to get into that. So we got TDK, my cassette in the building. We've got my guest host for the day, the beautiful, the vivacious Mandisa Gianni.
Yes.
Say what's up to the people, Mandisa.
Hey, everybody.
Hopefully, y'all be hearing that voice a lot.
Of course. No, definitely. I hope so, as well.
There we go. And we've got Linda Mash.
Hey, everybody.
What's going on? We got a young future South African Cardi B in the building, right?
Ooh.
Pressure? Is that pressure?
No, good pressure.
Right? Yeah. She's been number one for 3 weeks straight.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about the song. You know?
It's a dope song.
I was like, Bodak Black. What does that
but
mean?
But it's like a boss song, though.
Yeah,
like
it
literally makes you feel like, okay.
You owning it.
Right? All right, so TDK, my cassette, house sensation. First of all, let's talk about song Gusheshe. Like that was some sick shit. How old are you?
I'm 26.
Really, you look 19.
Yeah, you look much younger.
But that's good though. That means engage.
Yeah, I don't know if it's good because then next thing when brothers are in the streets, they might think they're pedophiles. You know?
Get arrested and everything.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's hard to ask her out. You're like, wait, should I not?
Yeah. Maybe still look, because I mean, this is a look. This is TDK Makassette's look, and then I've got another look of Tande Mkhwanazi, which is totally different.
Okay.
So there's two brands here, you know?
Hey, okay. Wow. She loves it.
We see you.
And okay, so, you know, tell us about the jam, man. That's us. Java, DJ Mapoli. So shout out to DJ Mapoli. That's my boy, DJ Bucks.
And he did the beat, actually. That was his first Gom beat that he did. And he invited me to come and listen to because he wanted to have a feel.
Wait, hold up, TDK. Like, let's not just say this like it's an ordinary date thing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, he invited me. Like,
yes, because everybody gets invited.
Yeah, like, you know, Mapoli invited me. You know, I was just chilling with Puff Daddy.
No, but it's the truth, though. I mean, He invited me. He wanted me to hear the this beat, you know, that he did. I was like, yo, it's dope. Okay. And funny enough, the whole gimmick that came about, I was literally just driving with him, and then he played the track, the beat, and I was like, yo, you know, it's crazy. I was like, Yasin, you're actually good. You can actually do gom. And it's like, it's not really hardcore.
Cool. Yeah, it's like commercial. Yeah. It's kind of subtle. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, you know, I came up with the song. Oh, shit, I didn't even know what I was saying. Hey, Shit, you know?
Yeah.
And then he's like, yo, Yasin, we need to take that into recording. And then that's how the song came about. So guys, I have not sang before. This was my first track ever. And I'm actually proud of myself.
It's a good jam.
I'm very, very proud of myself. And the opportunity to work with such people. Hello.
Yes, it does.
Not gonna forget your radio people, right?
Like, I definitely not.
When videos are coming out, just give us a call.
You guys will be the best people.
Now, every artist who comes on the show says that, yo, Kes, thank you so much, dog. We invite you for the video. Mm. All right, cool. Z. Nothing after that, Baba. Done. Never.
Yeah, I'm definitely not like that, though.
So how did you meet my police? Obviously, you had to have known him for
I've got a company. Well, I've got a PR marketing and management company, but it does it corporate. Oh. So I interlink African artists and African companies with South African companies to work together. So I had an artist from Cameroon who wanted to get a beat and work with artists from this side. And I thought of Maphorisa because of the whole beats that he has. Yeah. You know, it's very Afropop, you know, and so forth. So I met Maphorisa a couple of years back, like 3 years back. And we've had that relationship ever since. But I've always been behind the scenes. So this is just a new thing for me to be, you know, in front of the scene. And it's very exciting, guys. I like it, actually. I don't know why I didn't start it back then. But yeah, so that's how I met him. It was just through work, through corporate work. And yeah, so our relationship did grow and it's growing.
Women power. You you married?
Definitely. No.
Not yet?
No, I mean,
we were talking about that right now. You know,
no, but I mean, sometimes, guys, to be honest, sometimes.
No, I'm just saying I'm here, you know, like I'm you know, I'm
are you guys are frustrated? Look at that beard. Like,
okay, we see.
No, I'm saying, like, you know how, you're so cute, look at the beard. I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So me, I'm a jealous type. I'm a jealous type, yo.
So not me, like, I can just be your Steadman. You know Steadman, like Oprah's boyfriend? Yeah. I can be behind the scenes too. You make the money, I make you breakfast in the morning, you know, bring it to bed. Before you go to work, I'm like, babe, where's your laundry? Yeah. Like, I'm going to take the laundry out and I'm going to use your car. Then, so can I get the driver? Oh, babe, can I use your car?
So you're basically just trying to focus on yourself and building
the brand TDK Makassette, definitely.
All right. Can I just ask you a question?
Yes.
How did TDK Makassette come about? Right. Because I know there's a background to that name, you know. So how did it come about?
TDK came about back then when I was 14. I started off in the media industry when I was 14 years old at Cozy FM when I was doing a kiddie show.
Yes.
And then straight after that, I groomed myself into dancing. I used to love hip hop. Like, I was a hip hop freak. I think my look says it.
Yes.
But I was a hip hop freak. So I used to dance to Crump, you know, and stuff like that. And then I met up with Fixed DC. The brand that used to sponsor us. And then we then did tours for a whole lot of artists. One of them was Double HP. And my team just didn't want to call me Tende because I was a Beyonce.
Oh, okay.
So she got the glam on. She got the hair and everything. She got the hair.
I've got this thing of I need to stand out, you know.
Yes.
So they needed to give me a short name, you know. Mm-hmm. So our coach just decided, okay, your name is Tende, so I need to take the T, the D, and the K. Okay, and then make it TDK. And then my cassette came along last year for my team of friends. Si Groove and Jane Teguin. So I scattered up business and yes when my cassette when don't I paid, you know?
That's how
the name came about.
Very organic. I like that.
It is.
We also got Linda Mash, like I said, we got Linda Mash. Yes. Linda Mash is across the border when it comes to the music scene, right? You're more of a rapper.
Yeah.
As you said, Cardi B. You're a G?
Yeah.
You're a gangster, you the gangster thing?
I don't know. You know, a lot of people say they're gangster, but they've never held a gun. So
shots fired.
Can't really just say you're gangster. You gotta actually be gangster. And a gangster doesn't admit that they're a gangster.
Yeah, because you get arrested, right?
Because you're going to get caught.
How are you snitching on yourself, bro?
Exactly.
How are you snitching on yourself? It's a beautiful thing. You always love, you know, I love the whole, like, how women are becoming entrepreneurs and just running with it, you know, business-wise. And they're doing their thing. And, you know, opening up doors for people like myself, the Steadmans, you know, stay-at-home.
Okay.
Stay-at-home fathers, sperm donors, it's all good.
You're really pushing this campaign.
I don't mind, homie. Like, we're tired of working. Do you know what it's like being a man in the 21st century? Brazilian weaves, nails, and it's all expensive. These products. Yeah. Now they don't want, you know, they don't want Dove no more because Dove done messed up. You know, it's crazy. But, yeah, you know what I love about both TDK and Linda is that you're both entrepreneurs. I mean, you're both business. You guys are multi-talented. Like, I mean, I know you also do motivational speaking. Tell us a bit about Linda Mash.
Yes, so I'm also a model.
Well, we can tell.
But the listeners can't tell.
Yeah.
I'm a model, a rapper, entrepreneur. Yeah, a motivational speaker. Not so much, but yeah, I want to go more into that. But it's more about the music right now. I've done so many things. But yeah, right now it's more about the music.
I think basically the fact that you're doing so much and you're doing it well makes you a motivational speaker. Because you can speak to young ladies in high schools and, you know what I mean, tell them that, yo, you can do this too, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's not that big a deal. Just work hard and...
Actually, that's why I went into the music industry is because I felt like I was complaining a lot when I listened to the music. I felt like none of the music spoke to me as a woman, me growing, my mind, my soul. It was all just about body and how sexy you look and what you can be to the next guy. It wasn't about you developing yourself. So I decided to be the change that I wanted to see. That's why I became a musician. Because the thing about
music... You took it intellectual on the show.
Let's take it back to school. Let's take it back to school.
So in the music, growing up, it used to inspire me. And it's a message that you hear every day, all the time, because it's music. It's unlike a book that you read, or somebody forces you, or even motivational videos, you know, where you only get to see them in that moment. So music, you get to be motivated and inspired all the time, all day, if you choose to. So I feel like as artists, we can make some music that builds for a change.
I think that's the whole point of music.
So tell me more about, or tell us more about Mwanyana, right? That is your latest single track, that you just dropped right now. So tell us what it's about, you know, because I feel like it has that feminism, woman empowerment feel. Okay.
The minute that word comes up,
you know, we need to talk about it.
Though. Kick me off my own.
Why does it get you guys so touchy?
You're gonna kick me off my damn show.
It's as if guys think we can't empower ourselves without fighting with them. Feminism is not even about you as a guy.
Now, the minute you say that, I'm cool. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't got no problems. I go through Twitter and it's all men bashing men. I'm like, okay,
no, that's the thing.
But we can't run away from the fact that it's present. There is a lot of men bashing.
Feminism
is when
a woman can do the same things that a man can do. We're talking about in the corporate, talking about in the home, everywhere, in politics. Ooh, it's long. Politics.
Especially in the music industry. You know, I think the one thing I've noticed is that there's much more hype surrounding male artists. You know, when a female comes out, then
they be scrutinizing her, like, and your raps and your lyrics and your, you know what I'm saying? We can't just be who we are. They're gonna be like, oh, your rhymes are whack. There's so many other male rappers whose rhymes are so whack. Nobody says anything to them. Marawena, when you're a girl, you must explain. Okay, back to Mwanyana.
Y'all can name them, right?
No, but you know what is so nice, actually, at this point of time, men do honestly now respect us as I'm a female artist, because they can see the strength that we have and the powers that we have. I mean, till this far, no man has taken me till this far. I did it on my own. And I get respect from all these men that I've worked with.
That's what we need to emphasize.
We don't really need men to be the best thing. I mean, look at Cardi B.
That takes me to Mwanyana. So the course of Mwanyana says, Mwanyana, I'll translate. Mwanyana watu khawayetza, ha emele mutu, watu khawayetza. Meaning, when you're a girl and you want to do something, just do it.
Thank you.
Yes. Don't send a PCM to Sbanbani trying to take the shortcut. No, and put the money away and invest in yourself. Get yourself a matric, get yourself an education. You can be anything that you want to be, girl. Just take the time. Be patient and build yourself every single day. Believe Utu Uzofiga. Don't you sleep your way to the top.
They will try to finish it,
but they can't finish it, but they will try. True. You know, and but you still won't be at the top. I don't know anybody who's a female up to now that's been like, yo, mina ngilisikile keke ngaze ngafika la. No. Any woman that has gotten to the top is saying what you say, TDK, you need to work.
You know what I mean? My only issue, like, and it's not even an issue with feminists, it's just that the way it's been, how we have perceived it, right? And when the word is used, we feel like we're being attacked. So most of us will fall back. And we were talking to, I had Josina Michelle on the show. That's Samora Michelle's daughter. And she's a victim of domestic abuse as well. You know what I mean? And we were just talking. And I'm like, yo, I think we need to include each other.
Of course.
When trying to fix a problem. There's no way women are going to fix society by themselves. There's no way men are going to fix society by themselves. You know what I mean? It needs to be inclusive. Like, we need to do everything together. And I don't think men, I believe I'm a feminist. Like, if you go through our No Borders as a show, like, if you go through it and you see some of the interviews, we've had Gigi LeMaine on the show, we've had Nadia Nakai, we've had Josina Michelle, we have so many very inspirational ladies on the show, because we're saying just, and I grew up with women, like, I mean, you're our sisters, you know what I mean? Like, there's no, and even the way, when we're free and able to say, yo, she makes more money than me, that doesn't affect me, you know what I mean? You have to be a really,
self-assured.
Like, the opposite. Like, someone with a major inferiority. You have to be very scared with a major inferiority complex to think that just because someone makes more money than you, they're better than you.
But that's whether it's a man or a woman. That's society standards.
And that's my point. That's society. And also society now views feminism as angry women. But it's not.
That's true. I think it's society that's making feminism look like a bunch of angry girls.
If you're saying society, which race in particular? or media. Which genre in particular? Because can I be honest with you, we have problems with our culture.
Oh. Yeah. That's another thing. Yeah.
We have a problem.
Do you know the actual? There are women. Muslims, you know, some of,
I mean, honestly,
do you know some of women's biggest haters are the women?
Of course.
Thank you.
They'll be like, "Yo, why is she trying to do all that?"
And it's not. And
I'm the husband at home. Boo boo just bought me a Mercedes for my 4th birthday. I'm rolling.
No, we need to fix ourselves.
It's self-esteem.
We can't say it's society. We need to fix ourselves as an individual, because we are the people that are breaking society.
There you go.
Society has opened so many doors for us. I mean, as Kufunda says, Fundisera Kulgab, and Jalis, we always say it's society, society. No. We are the problem.
Yeah.
We are breaking our own society.
Word.
You know, and I also just wanted to emphasize on his point that men have every right to be a feminist as well.
Yeah.
Because I strongly believe that if a man can empower you, you know what I mean? Imagine that cycle that comes about.
Yeah.
You know, so you empower me, you know, I empower her, so and so.
It but the point is not to wait for a man to empower
Of course.
But I mean, like, the empowerment isn't just like empowering in terms of actually giving you power. I mean, empowerment comes in different forms. Like, for example, like, I've got nephews, you know what I mean? Like, young, you know, like, younger brothers and stuff. And that's where it starts. Like, I'm not going to go into the street and start telling every man, hey, stop being trash. Stop. No, it starts with how I show the little kids around me.
Exactly.
This is how you treat women. You know what I mean? And that's being a feminist. Say, nah, you don't do that to women. You know what I mean? Like, and that's where it begins. China begins at home. I know it's a cliche, but that's where it begins. And it, once we get that right, then I think I've given up on certain generations of men. Like, 35 and above, done deal. Like Robert Mugabe, let's just wait for them to die.
Yes.
Let's work with that's my president. Let's work. let's work with these young kids, because that's where the future is. It's with these young generations. Like, and
definitely.
And the first thing needs to start with families.
Yes.
I mean, like, families, like mother, father. Even if you're divorced, can you just raise these kids properly? I mean, they didn't ask for this.
Yeah,
you know
that's
mean?
True.
And for you guys to push this message with music is awesome.
It's quite spectacular.
Dad, I got to give a shout out to you. You'd be proud of me right now. I'm in a room with four amazing women. You know what I mean? And I also like to say, you know how people are like, oh, she's hot. If I use the word hot with a woman, that's actually disrespectful for me. Like, I use the word beautiful, because beautiful is inner and outer beauty.
Of course.
You guys are ridiculously beautiful. You know what I mean?
Like,
it's nice to see hardworking women, and, you know, because the last thing that you want is to die and you had a kid with somebody and you know that kid is going to be fucked up. You know when you're on your deathbed and you're like, Jesus, don't take me now.
No.
My child still needs me. I know my child still needs me. Please.
Yeah.
And I think women are more worried about that right now. Shit, with the men that are around, DJ Combs. Jesus. No one even knew he was. Do you know this has actually made him famous? I didn't know DJ Combs.
I didn't know too.
Okay, so let's get into the industry, though. How has it been? Of course, you guys are doing it yourselves, but they are still, we call them gatekeepers.
Mm. Yay.
My gatekeepers. How's it been?
Is that what it's called? Why don't you guys tell me?
I didn't know.
The currency is pussy. That's the only way you can go through those gates.
I mean, I can't. Never. When I tell you, listen, you're going to need me, though. That's what I know. You're going to need my ass. So I'm not going to go that low.
Because
that's where pride comes in. I got so
you
much
know?
Pride.
And then tomorrow they'll be pointing at you like,
I understand.
And then you can't now hold your head up high, because I'm going to say jail.
You know, some of us try my voice. So, like,
exactly. They'll be like, oh, let's say
you're
going to get
out. No,
we don't do that, which is why it's taken some of us so long. I'm going to ask, as fortunate as our TDK, we just be chilling.
Oh my
God!
Oh, snap!
Like,
we still be knocking doors. But it started off, guys.
Nami,
I started off behind the scenes. Like I said, I was approached by your Durban icons, like about Dira, asking me to work for them for free for years, doing what I like, exposure.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So Nami, I learned the hard way. I do not sleep my way up to where I am right now. I learned the hard way. Tata, I'm a senda cleaner, like 5 rand kibele, to make sure that the stable is happy, make sure that the distribution is submitted, summer stuff is up to date, marketing events, you know. So I started off somewhere,
and I was clever about that, though. You're mentioning those institutions like Samro means you know the business.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
a lot of people don't even know the business.
And I think that's very important.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I mean, like, and then I was very clever enough to capture each and every person, have a good relationship with them, because you never look at where I am now. I never knew I was going to sing.
Yeah.
I never knew I was going to sing.
So yeah, the difficulties get are the gate gatekeepers. Mm. But then I think maturity with you, you get to see them quickly. This one's not really serious about work, you know. And that's like 90% of them. And then the 10%, you need to work with the ones that are more talented. You know, it's like, it's like working my way up, I would say, because I'm also getting to learn the terminology, Abo Risa, you know. So I think, I don't know, I feel like once I get to where I'm trying to get to, I'm going to have so much.
Well, I mean, you've already met TDK, so that's a good deal.
Maybe you guys can have like a young collaboration.
Something about girls. We're going to break it here, Nef.
No borders needs to get that finder speed.
Please.
We brought y'all together.
Okay.
Come on now.
Wait. What's the currency?
Bitcoin.
Ooh. Oh. Okay. Hey, T's and C's on the table. Mina, before we go anywhere, I need to know, what are the T's and C's? Guess or S?
I find it funny though. Like, if you're, let's give an example of AKA. Like, let's say he opens up, you know, whatever record label. Like, do you still need to throw in an incentive to sleep with somebody? Like, I mean, that, for example, like, I mean, I would feel bad. Like that would hurt my ego for me to have to force you to have sex with me.
That's what I'm saying. These guys don't realize.
I'm way too proud.
They look so bad.
I'll leave the car at home and get into an Uber so that you don't know that I've got a BMW or Mercedes. Because I don't want you dating me because of my Mercedes.
Yes, but I think also it has a lot to do with respect. You know, if someone doesn't respect you from get-go, those are the type of things that they're going to be suggesting. You know, if they don't respect your art or what you do or what you're about.
I don't even think it's about me. No, boo boo. You don't respect your damn self. Sorry, this has nothing to do with
that
me.
True.
Now, no. I feel like these guys, they have low self esteem. Work on your attitude, work on your personality. Because I'm not going to date your car.
Exactly.
I'm not going to be sitting with your Gucci.
Materials,
I'm not
going to
be sleeping with your Hennessy.
But hold up.
Work on yourself.
I'm going to side with the dudes for a bit. And I'm like, as men, we adapt to our environments.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, when I was growing up, I remember for you to get a hot girl, you had to talk good. No. I'm an 80s baby. You had to talk good. You had to smell good. You had to dress good. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we showered.
You know
what I mean? Like, you get to her with the pickup line. You remember pickup lines?
Yes.
Nowadays, they don't have pickup lines. They just take
you're not even
water.
Sure if you're dating a guy or not nowadays.
Dudes walk into the club and he's got his wallet in one hand, the car keys and his cell phone.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, don't you got no pockets?
Yeah.
Like,
yes,
what's up?
Yes.
Back in the day, so we adapt, and I think society has let men adapt. That's the truth of it. Mm. If men needed to smell good to get women, we would smell good to get women. And we can't run away from the fact that, you know what? There are women who have been demanding money.
True.
I mean, wait, Zodwa said it on the ground. She said it on the ground. She's like, yes, after every night that I slept with somebody, he knew he would have to give me something in the morning.
Mm. Yay.
Yes, I mean, she said it. It's all over Twitter and the gram. I'm not condoning the behavior because, I mean, we should be able to be like, nah, to hell with that. You know what I mean? Especially if you respect yourself. But it goes both ways. And like I said, women can't fix stuff on their own. Men can't fix them. It's a concerted effort to be like, yo, you know, show
can
them
I say
examples.
Something?
Yeah.
Yes.
You as a man need to be able to look after yourself, whether I'm in the picture or not.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to have a house. You need to be able to buy food and have furniture and get from place to place, whether I'm there or not. You're not doing it for me.
Yes, you must do it for yourself.
No, you're doing it for yourself. No. So I need to make sure that you can look after our family. I'm working. I'm working. I'm doing my own thing. So what are you bringing to the table?
But I'm not saying. I'm not saying it from that point of view. I'm saying using what you have to then get between the legs.
But
because you can have that stuff, right? Like, of course you're gonna have
guys
that
do.
But
that.
When you need to use it, then that's where the conundrum.
They think that having a career, they're doing it. That's the problem. They're not doing it for themselves.
Most of them don't have a career. They're hustlers.
Whatever they hustle.
Because you're not going to meet a dude from Barclays Bank in Taboo.
Yeah.
He's counting his cents. He's like, wait, I'm a $1,800 for a bottle of champagne?
Yeah.
How much is my tower at home?
Speaking of champagne, these days, I'm not going to say champagne. I mean, seriously, I know in Durban, especially in Durban, there's no more champagne than Cabana, Hennessy, or you do your Savannahs or your ciders.
Hey, when I Savannah?
No, darling. In Durban? No,
it's funny. No, it's coming to you, though. I'm sure it's coming. Why are we coming?
What is like, I don't mind. Yo, I'm at the table and my girl's like, I'll have a Savannah. I'm like, yes. Give us six, nigga. In fact, you know what? Buy another six to the next table.
Oh my goodness.
Let's go. Let's do this. Let's do this.
No,
I said, it's the hustlers. I mean, like that hustler mentality. I love Durban. I'm coming to Durban.
Things have changed in Durban. I like it. It's very funny. Isn't it?
No, we still need bubbles.
Yeah, no.
My issue is if it's not in your refrigerator, don't be ordering it. If you can't pay for it right now, whatever you ordered, if you can't pay for it, if you can't bring the money out right now.
So that's how men are thinking now in Durban. I don't know if it's going to come here. I hope it comes here.
Right? No.
But in Durban,
we got amazing personalities in the building, but we're about to wrap up. TDK, tell us what's next.
Yes. Something big, crazy. My project that I'm doing with a whole lot of people. I am coming to Bang next year, especially. But this summer, do tune out. I'll be around your places or cities. Yeah.
I think you're going to kill December, though.
I hope so.
TDK, like I said, Linda, what's going on?
Yeah, same thing. I'm also going to be pushing Wanyana. I'm going to be recording some more. I'm actually a rapper, so I want to drop something that's more hip hop because Wanyana is something more quite
okay. Real dance. Quickly, okay. I didn't ask why. Why hip hop? Why do you choose the genre hip hop?
I don't know. I guess ngiyathanda hip hop. Like, if I listen to any genre, like, I get tired. But then when I listen to hip hop, like, I can listen to hip hop like the whole day, the whole night, the whole week, whole year. So yeah, that's what I want to put out, something that I can listen to, right?
Word. Yeah. TDK, how they get a hold of you on social media?
At TDK Makassette on Instagram, at TDK Makassette on Twitter, and at TDK Mkhwanazi on Facebook.
Sweet. Okay. Linda?
Facebook, Linda Mesh. Twitter, Linda Mesh with two S's, M-A-S-S-H. Instagram, Linda.Mesh.
There we go. CliffCentral.com. No Borders. That was a hectic show. I'm not inviting these people ever.
What? No. What do you mean?
They took over.
Women in the building. I feel like.
Yeah, one was she's selling it. Even how the shirt is off. The shoes are off.
It was quite amazing, though.
Quite amazing. Thank you very much to Mandisa Gianna for coming through.
It's a pleasure. Okay.
CliffCentral.com. No Borders. We're going to end the show. Can you please introduce the jam, Linda Mesh?
Yes.
Linda Mesh, Wanyana coming through.
Who produced Wanyana?
I worked with Easy. He's from Joburg CBD.
Always got to shout out the producer, man.
Yes.
Next week, same time, No Borders. Your boy KF and Mandisa. Hundreds.
Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.